Well, what's up, guys? Big Daddy Sitch is back in the building. That's right, Mike the Situation from MTV's Jersey Shore, and my beautiful wife, Mrs. Situation, for another episode of Here's the Sitch.
Yes, it is episode number 36, and we are just powering through 2021. I can't believe that it is actually, like, I was thinking about it today, like, January always feels like 72 years.
Yeah.
And then now all of a sudden we're about to be in April.
I know, but you know what? I'm not a fan of the in-between weather. I'm sure my power company loves me because I keep switching from heat to air condition every other day because it's like in between. It's like 50 degrees. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know whether to put the heat on or to put the air conditioner on.
Let's be real. He is not switching anything. I am the one switching things. If he had to switch them, I don't know that he would even know where the panels are.
Well, listen, guys.
Switching because it's like a hot mess in New Jersey. It's like cold and then it's hot. Mm-hmm. We really don't know what the weather is.
Yeah, I know. Today when I got out of the gym and took a shower, I didn't know whether to put on shorts or and a sweatshirt at the same time. It's so in between. I would like it to be another in its 60s because then you kind of know what you're getting.
Yeah,
you
like
know
a daily, I mean? Daily average of 60s is solid. That's air conditioning weather here.
Yeah.
And that's usually perfect weather, like 65, 67.
Well, we are going on our 31st week of pregnancy in a couple days, right?
Well, when this airs, yes, I will be over 31 weeks pregnant.
Oh,
yes.
Oh my goodness, it's 31 happening.
31 weeks.
Yes. What a journey it has been. I'm very excited. We're just finishing, or not finishing, we're actually executing to get the baby's rooms ready now. Or baby's rooms? Or
well, we have his nursery and a playroom. We're doing two rooms so that there'll be a play space for him. Not that he's going to be like doing much activity right away, but we'll have like a designated child friendly area, you know what I mean, so that you can be in there and close the door and it's not, you know, a million breakable things or whatever the case may be. But also Mosey is like really in tune to the fact that I'm 31 weeks pregnant.
He
because
is, yeah.
Mosey's always attached to me. Like I always say, he's my shadow. But he's so much more attentive, and even with you, like he doesn't leave either of our sides for a second.
Well, for those of you that don't know or maybe listening to Here's the Sitch for the first time, tell them, honey, that Mosey is our adorable and beloved golden retriever of the family.
Yes, Mosey is our Here's the Sitch mascot. He is always with us during every single recording in the podcast room. He's with me right now underneath the table taking a nap. He is 8 years old. He does have a birthday coming up.
Oh, he does.
He's going to be 9 on April 11th. I can't believe
He acts like a puppy and looks like a puppy.
He does, but he's going to be 9. So yeah. We'll have to do a little Mosey birthday celebration for him.
Well, I'd like to obviously start off. This is definitely the positive podcast you never knew that you needed. Lately, I've been seeing a lot on the news about Demi Lovato's new documentary that she just released the other day. So congratulations to her. I know she is on her recovery journey, so let's give her a pat on the back. I know firsthand that the recovery journey is not easy. And to put it blunt, it's probably one of the hardest things that you'll ever do in your life. But let's get to the meat and potatoes of this podcast. I'm hearing a lot about a phrase called California sober, honey. Did you hear about it?
I did hear about that.
Yeah. What do you even know what I don't even know what California sober is. Do we even have Google handy so that we can even see if it is a definition in the dictionary? Because I have an idea of what it is.
But you know what? I have to go back to how you first introed this and say, listen, I'm a fan of her.
Facts.
She's very talented.
Same.
She's extremely talented musically. I'm a fan of her music. I'm a fan of her in her comeback. I hope that she has a very successful, healthy, long recovery. But I do want to say recovery is extremely hard for anybody that's going through it.
The odds are against you.
Yes, everyone. It'll be the hardest thing if you attack that monster and do it lifelong. It will be the hardest but most rewarding thing you can do.
Facts.
But I will say I do think, and I may get some flack for this, whatever that word is, but I do think it's at times more challenging to recover and get sober when you're a public figure.
Facts. It's been hard as hell.
A lot of people.
For me, for sure.
But some people from the other spectrum think like it's easier because you have.
No, it's harder.
You have maybe assets and stuff. But guys, like money is not what gets you sober.
No,
like money
no.
oftentimes enables you to go deeper.
Yeah.
But
your actions your actions are magnified.
Yeah. And when you have literally millions upon millions of eyes and people watching you, critiquing you, putting, you know, pulling your words apart on
more
the news,
stress.
It's even harder. So we're just going to give her credit for getting on that journey.
And we currently right now, guys, we are Googling the phrase of California sober because I just happened to be watching TV. And TMZ said that you know, Demi had her interview and documentary, and she said that she was California sober.
Okay, so according to Google and Urban Dictionary, California sober is to abstain from all drugs except marijuana and alcohol.
Okay, so it is a definition.
So it's an oxymoron. To me, I don't know if you know what that is.
I do know what an oxymoron is.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's
because it says to abstain from all drugs.
It's like jumbo shrimp. Exactly. How could you be a jumbo shrimp? You're a shrimp.
Yeah.
That's an oxymoron.
I didn't understand that phrase, but I do understand that it says to abstain from all drugs
except
alcohol and weed. Now,
so clearly you're not abstaining from all drugs.
Facts. Now, do you know there is a clinical definition? If you were to go to a psychologist, if you were to go to rehab, if you were to go to a therapist and you told them what California sober is, do you know what they would tell you?
What?
The definition, this is substitution.
Yeah.
This is what's called substitution.
I agree.
Where you substitute one drug for another drug. And I'm going to clarify for you even further. You're going to substitute a mind or mood altering substance for another mind and mood altering substance. And if you're in recovery, I'm going to let you know that it sounds good, but it doesn't work. I'm going to let you know right now. It's just a really slippery slope. TMZ said that, and I'm going to have to agree with them. It is an extremely slippery slope. I think Entertainment Tonight said that it was disrespectful to the sober community, which I can definitely see that point of view. Because if you are sober, that means you are sober and free of all substances, all mind and mood altering substances.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's extremely disrespectful to anybody actually running a sober program and lifestyle that resides in California.
Mm-hmm.
Because how shitty is that to claim to be California sober when you're admitting that you are not sober?
Well, I did see that a lot of people seem to be upset about it, but I want to play all the angles here, okay? Let's give a little bit of context here. I am 5 years clean and sober, and we also, on the side when we're not shooting TV for MTV, we work at rehabs, and we've done that for the past couple years. This is what we do. We tour rehabs, we visit the facilities, and we speak our story of experience, strength, and hope so that we may save a life. So if you or someone that you know is suffering from the disease of addiction or a mental health issue, please call this number. Our team is standing by at 1-888-270-5712. My wife sitting across me, my beautiful, extremely strong wife. She also has a different point of view. She was also with me and supported me through my recovery journey, but also, her brother had tragically passed a couple years ago, honey, from an overdose. So we have some experience, and a lot of education on this subject. And this is why we are speaking about it.
Yeah. My little brother, Christopher, passed away in 2013. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a little bit, but you just threw me for a loop bringing that up.
That's okay. Listen, this is a sensitive subject, but what I'm trying to get across is that we're deep in this thing, guys.
Yeah, this is like our life. This is our real life. Of course, we share it on Jersey Shore Family Vacation. You get to see some of that. But, you know, like he said, when we're not filming, this is like our life, our daily foundation, day in and out, mm-hmm. is, you know, Mike's recovery comes first. And then everything else comes secondary, and everything he's excelling in personally, professionally, emotionally, spiritually, you know, familially, with relationships and everything. Because and it's all because program. He put in that foundation for his recovery and sobriety first. What I did want to mention was that I know Demi has struggled for this for a very long time, mm-hmm. because I am a fan of her. So I have seen her get sober at times and do interviews where she's like, you know, trying to reemerge and show her life being clean and this and that. Mm-hmm. And then something happens. And unfortunately, relapse is a part of recovery, mm-hmm. at times. It's the worst part of recovery, and I don't wish it upon anybody. But the one thing I will give her credit for right now is that I think for the first time ever in her life,
I know what you're saying,
that she's being honest, yeah. with, and that's like the first step.
I tell people in the press, it took me 2 to 3 times to get it, but my wife will probably tell you it took
like five. It probably took 4 or 5. I'd really have to think about it.
Actually going to rehab and.
But over a span of probably 12 or something years.
Yeah.
Because there were times where, you know, he was just going through the motions or young and experimenting and this and that. And then I'm sure there were times where he really wanted to figure it out, but he still couldn't figure it out,
yeah.
and was relapsing. And maybe that's where Demi is now with she's trying. Because one of his last times before you figured it out for good,
yeah.
was the time where you did substitution.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to, honey. I thank you for leading me into it. I actually was in very similar shoes to Demi, where I was around, I think 30 years old. And that was in 2012. We had just finished season 6 of Jersey Shore. And I went to Bahamas, and I was on my beginning of my recovery journey. And I celebrated in the Bahamas with some of my team with a glass of wine. So you want to ask me, honey, why did I celebrate with a glass of wine if I technically just got out of rehab a couple months prior, right? Mm-hmm. Well, when I did go to rehab, I had recovered physically, but I was not recovered mentally and mm-hmm. spiritually. I did not apply what, you know, I was taught, or I did not take that stuff and put it into my tool belt, those tools that they teach you. I didn't necessarily apply all that. I didn't put all the hands on deck that needed to be, you know, put. I didn't take the suggestions. You know, I really just, what they call it is I ran my own program.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's not, you don't want to be doing that. Yes. Let me just put that into perspective for some people who haven't heard that term before.
Yeah.
Anytime I'm going off the rails with my schedule, or like I'm just like not feeling great, or I get up in the morning and I run out the door before breakfast or shower or anything, he's like, well, you're running your own program. Like, and he's saying it meaning like you're going to crash and burn and epically fail in a matter of moments, days, minutes, because you're not having a structure.
And I'm trying to think about what was going through my mind when I was very close to her age. I think she's 28 now, so I was around 30. I wasn't ready to hang my spurs up, as it was called. I still wanted to party. You know what I mean? I technically was on one of the biggest partying shows or reality shows like that in history.
But let me ask you a question.
I was fearful of moving forward with my career without drugs and alcohol. I was fearful. I didn't know who I would become.
And I think that happens with a lot of people, especially in any industry, but also in entertainment, where the longer you're doing something and you're doing it and you're being successful professionally, you're like, and I know even Eminem, when he's been sober for almost like 15 years now or something like that, but he even said when he had gotten sober, like, he's like, I don't know that I can ever make music again, because he made music so high for so many years.
Same.
And it was such, you know, award-winning or whatever, kind of great. Well, like, I have pregnancy brain, guys, but I'm trying to say, like, he did really well for himself in his industry and he was fucked up all the time.
Well, yeah.
So when you take away that substance of whatever,
you don't believe you can do it sober.
You think you can't do it.
Exactly. I actually had a producer of MTV, of Jersey Shore Family Vacation, which was in 2018. And I was maybe 2 years sober, and I was in interview. And I remember them pulling me outside and saying, Mike, man, what's happening, man? Like, you know, you're not your usual self. And this is when I was a season that I was fully sober. And I remember thinking to myself, like, oh, my God, maybe I can't do it sober. You know, maybe I need that pick me up to be that person, or that personality on TV to shine. I had to eventually challenge myself, and I was able to do it. You know, I was able to become better. Well, than I was before. But there's always that period of time where you doubt yourself and you're like, wow, like, I don't know. It's almost like you have to relearn how to be yourself again.
You do have to relearn it. And I think that's a scary part for a lot of people, to start from ground zero and relearn how to do everything and relearn how to do what they're great at. But what I think is actually true is the exact opposite of what your fear is telling you. I think that look at how much success you've had while you've been fucked up. You think you've been performing your best for years. Yeah. Like, but you've been so high, you don't even remember, you know, this appearance, that performance, that Grammys. Like, you don't remember any of it.
Yeah.
But imagine if you were clear and functioning at like such a good level and also vibrating at a frequency that you're just able to be present and take in these moments and perform, like, you would impress everybody even more. Like, imagine what your potential is if you do all that sober. So it always is for the best when you do get clean and sober in any industry. But I'm just saying, I think artistically, specifically, if you apply yourself, you will, like, the sky's the limit for what you can do. All right, guys. So, you know, us over at Here's the Sitch podcast are always looking to be healthy, clean eating with our meal prep, doing the most with our workouts and our supplements, and just trying to live like our healthiest, best life, well-rounded. So I want to talk to you about something that we found that has really helped us do that, especially in the kitchen, which is where I feel like we all may need some help and inspiration, especially during these times. So HelloFresh is one of our partners today. And what I love most about them is that HelloFresh cuts out the stressful meal planning and grocery store trips. I'm so not about going to the grocery store all masked up and with all my hand sanitizers. I'd rather just get everything delivered and be safe from my home. So HelloFresh does that. You can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in 20 minutes or less. The recipes are super quick, they're prepped, and what I personally love most when I use my HelloFresh meal kits is that they even include all of the little spices you need. So if you don't have like coriander or nutmeg or some kind of specialty spice that maybe you haven't used in years, it's in the back of a cabinet, I don't know, somehow they're just missing and it's like the one spice you need, HelloFresh will include exactly what you need to make the exact dish you selected. So for me, that is just like life-changing in the kitchen. HelloFresh also offers over 25 recipes to choose from each week. There's vegetarian meals to craft burgers and extra special gourmet options. There's something for everyone to enjoy, with all recipes designed and tested by professional chefs and nutritional experts to ensure deliciousness and simplicity. overall, HelloFresh is such a good situation. The Situation household approves HelloFresh. Head over to HelloFresh.com/Situation12 and use code Situation12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. Guys, this will set you up for at least a week. You can pick 12 free meals. Head to HelloFresh.com/Situation12 and put in code Situation12 for 12 free meals plus free shipping. It is such a great opportunity to try out HelloFresh if you have not tried it yet. I highly recommend it. There's something there for everyone. Just enjoy it. It's America's number one meal kit and we love it.
Okay, so let's go back to what they actually suggest in rehab, and does it even work? What, you know, what are the suggestions that they suggest? Well, they, first of all, they suggest to get a sponsor. They also suggest to get a recovery network. You know, you want to be around the people that are on the same mission as you, and also stay away from people, places, and things. You know, the one day at a time. Also, they suggest to go to NA and AA meetings. I did 90 meetings in 90 days. It definitely helped me sort of put distance in between negative habits. You know, remember when I was going to meetings all the time? And my mom, she wasn't really educated on addiction. She's like, are you going to do these meetings forever?
Yeah. She thought it was like school. She's like, does he have to go all the time? When is he done with them? It's like, I don't know that he's ever done with them.
Oh my God. But that's what it is. It's, you know, it's a definitely a tough road. But you have to educate yourself, on addiction and on self. I think that's when I got it.
But probably
where she's at now.
Yeah.
I was thinking to myself, like, I got this. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not like everyone else. You know, I was physically detoxed and I felt great. I'm like, you know what? I can handle this. You know what I mean? I can go to the club and I'll have one drink. You know what? I'll just stay away from opiates, my drug of choice. That, you know, almost killed me. And I'll be honest with you. I was successful, honey, for about a year and a half when I played this little substitution game, also known as California Sober.
I wouldn't call it successful, but...
Okay. In my mind, I was successful. Okay. But eventually, after about a year and a half, okay, of doing the... playing the game or playing the Russian roulette, as I call it, with the California Sober or substitution, whatever you want to call it. One night I was doing appearances across the country, traveling with my team, and there was actually people in charge of making sure that I didn't take drugs. That's how serious my team was at one particular point. There was people in charge of making sure that I didn't mess up.
But they did a great job.
Well, I'll be honest with you. They didn't do a great job because no one is going to stop you if you're motivated. One was going to stop me back in the day. I was causing mayhem in the streets.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the story. After about a year and a half, I was out clubbing. I was out having a drink or two here and there, which I never even liked drinking that much. I was also smoking. I was mixing. And then eventually someone offered me some MDMA or Molly. And I was like, yeah, you know, that's not my drug of choice. No big deal. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I've been so good for so long. Like, I can have fun. Guess what happened? I took the Molly. I didn't feel good. And then your brain says to yourself, well, you know what? Like, you know what would make me feel better right now? You know where I'm going with this, honey?
Yeah.
Where am I going?
To an opiate.
Exactly. My brain said to myself, you know what? I'm not feeling good right now, but I know what would make me feel better. And guess what? I technically relapsed with my drug of choice, but technically I had this reservation from day one.
That's what they call it. You know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, you're not fooling anybody. You're not even fooling yourself.
I had that
by saying that you're going to drink and smoke, because there's only a matter of time where it's going to lead you back down to your drug of choice.
Which it led me back to my drug of choice. And then I spent probably 2 to 3 years in active addiction, which I was luckily that I didn't overdose, I guess. And I made it back to rehab in 2015, which was probably two or three years later. At that particular point, I was desperate for results, sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm not going to do this my way anymore because my way is not working. Running my own program is not working. You know, there's no such thing in the world right now as Mike's program. It doesn't work. You know what works? The NAAA program, the 12 steps works, getting sober through the group, okay, one day at a time. It works if you work it. Those are the principles that work. Abstinence is what works, okay? Because let me just break it down for you guys. The drugs, they weren't really the problem because...
That's what I was going to ask. They weren't really the problem.
I was the problem, okay? It took me a very long time to find out who I was, who self was, who Michael was, who the situation was. I realized that I had an addictive personality. And obviously everything that I do is all or nothing. And the only thing that worked and the only thing that's making me kill the game right now is the fact that I got sober, that I applied the principles from the 12 steps and what I learned in rehab. Okay. I take it one day at a time and I'm sober. You know what I'm saying? I also saw that Demi said something like, she said that she didn't want to set herself up for failure. I think the quote unquote, she said, telling myself that I can never have a drink or smoke marijuana, I feel like that is setting myself up for failure. I'll be honest with you, in recovery and in the rooms, you don't say that. You say that just for today, I'm not going to pick up. I'm not going to drink or drug day at a time.
I think it's like what I said before, where she is just struggling. And
she's in the beginning of her journey.
She's in the extreme beginning because at least I think this is her honesty phase. So she's being honest. I hope she has some kind of program that is surrounding her with or sober coach or something like that, that she can have these open, honest communications with and they can say, listen, it's not going to work that way.
Do you think there's anybody in her team saying that this is a bad idea? I mean, it's pretty much...
It depends because a lot of times the teams enable and then there's other times where teams give you an ultimatum.
They have no control sometimes.
She had said from what other times she had gotten sober, it was because her team said, we're all dropping you. Like her management, her agents, everybody was dropping her until she got sober.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave her an ultimatum at one point. And she's struggled for a while now. But I think for the first time ever publicly, she's being honest that she's still struggling is what I think it is. Mm-hmm. And that's amazing for her because she can be honest. Until you can be honest, you can't change anything.
Yeah, most people make that mistake early on in their recovery journey. And I made the same mistake and I was in the same shoes as her. Hopefully maybe somebody from her team will send her this podcast. We're big fans of her. We're definitely rooting for her. We are big believers in the comeback is always greater than the setback. But I'm going to be honest, California Sober, it's just from our opinion, our point of view, our experience and education, it doesn't work. And it's definitely, that's something that will set you up for failure.
Yeah, that's a recipe for disaster, I think. And that's something that you may not come back from.
I mean, there's a lot of people out there that can have a drink, maybe even a drug, in moderation. There are people out there. I am not one of them. My wife can have a drink of wine once in a while. She's pregnant, so obviously that's not happening right now. But there are people out there. I just don't think that that's a good way to start off your recovery. And that's just my opinion. Obviously, to each his own. She has her own life to live. But when you're on the journey of recovery, you go towards people that are doing it correctly. You go to people that have the 3 years sober, the people that are successful. And also, There's a giant community in California of sober people.
I know, and I feel like that. Did I say this already?
Yeah, you did. You did say that already. I know what you're going to say.
There's so many. I mean, California is a huge population. There's so many people doing a program the right way and being sober, and I'm sure they're all cringing that she's out there stating, "I'm California sober," and these people are like, "Oh my God!" Like, that's the antithesis of being sober.
Well, yeah, I understand that. Also, it's a very slippery slope because she overdosed, honey. She had a heart attack. She had some strokes. Like, this is some serious repercussions, or these are some serious consequences.
Yeah.
This, I mean, from afar, okay? Anyone that has gone to rehab, they have let drugs and alcohol control their life and have made their life unmanageable. Hence, I would have to say that you have an addictive personality, correct?
Yes.
I would have to make that assumption. From that particular point, and this is only from experience, the only way to get, you know, or recover from that is to take out all the negative behaviors, right? Slowly in life. Mm-hmm. That's how I recovered. I took out all of the negative behaviors. And then obviously, then when there are not much negative left, you focus on, you know, being a good neighbor, being good to your partner, excelling at work, trying new things, trying new projects. You're immersing yourself in nothing but positivity. Also always exhibiting balance. Think that's where the winning is made right there.
So my question is, what advice would you give to someone newly in their recovery? Just starting off, really, they haven't been successful in recovery, mm-hmm. and they're kind of at their rock bottom. Where do they go first? And actually, what advice would you give to Demi in her position?
Uh-huh.
And even uh-huh. to just go a little bit further question.
I really like this one.
Because you love like open-ended questions.
I do.
And you're so great at the recovery advice.
Uh-huh.
What advice would you give your former self in early recovery?
Ooh, this is a good one. Well, first, I would say that California Sober is a setup for disaster. I'm only saying this because California Sober, if you went to a rehab, the technical term or clinical term for that is substitution, which we did say before. And also, I also tried this, honey. So I would first say that abstinence is key. That's the only thing that I have found to work. That I'm actually my best self when I'm sober. I have so much more fun when I go out when I'm sober.
And for the listeners that may not have followed your story at that time, when you say you've tried this, you've tried the California sober way. Mm-hmm. How did that work out for you?
It worked out very horribly, actually. It didn't work. I've said it before. I gave you guys a little bit of the story, but I was in denial. It is what it is. I wasn't ready to hang up, you know, my party shoes. But someone that's in early recovery, I would take the suggestions from the professionals. I would take those that have come before you that have done it right, that are sober. You know, someone like myself that's 5 years clean and sober. I'm an expert on my own recovery, and I'm very knowledgeable about just recovery in general. And also the professionals and you know, are going to tell you, number one, to get a sponsor. Number two, to get a recovery network. Number three, to go to meetings. Stay away from people, places, and things.
I was just going to ask that. You literally read my mind. I wanted to ask you because that's something that's some people might say cliche when you say get a sponsor, people, places, and things, and one day at a time. But it's cliche, and it's cliche until you do it.
Yeah.
And you realize it's that simple.
Yeah.
That those simple tools are what works.
Yeah, yeah. Listen.
And how important is people, places, and things? Because I think from my point of view, I'm not someone in recovery, mm-hmm. but I'm a family member mm-hmm. who has seen recovery. I've seen people close to me struggle with substance abuse mm-hmm. within my family and within, you know, my significant other relationship with you.
Me, yeah.
So I feel like I've always understood how important people, places, things is.
Yeah.
But how important is it to you now that you're 5 years clean and sober, yeah. and you made that change 5 years ago, and it worked.
Yeah.
How is does it? Do you look at the people, places, and things saying a little bit differently because you're like, wow, I did it that way.
Yeah. And, well, in the beginning, it's very important because in the beginning of early recovery, you're very weak. You're very susceptible to make mistakes.
Exactly.
And you want to get a distance in between those temptations because you're not strong enough. Your brain isn't even rewired in the beginning. So if you're around a shady friend or someone that is enabling or not doing the right thing, you could make that mistake and say, it's not a big deal, you know, because you haven't put enough distance in between temptation. Now, 5 years later, you know, for me, I can go into bars, I can go into clubs, I can go into doctor's offices, I can go into places that I have a history of bad behavior, and I can obviously do something different because nothing changes if nothing changes.
Yeah. And you have so much time between then and now in your recovery. And I think it's also everyone's different too. So I think some people, places, and things may remain a trigger for them for a long time. Like if they run into someone who they used to use with all the time or party with or whatever you want to call it, that might be a trigger for them. For you, it's not, but I think it's because you've excelled so much in your growth in such a quick period of time.
Yeah.
So you don't have those triggers, but some other people, it may be very important for them to stay away from that.
They may be always triggers. I continue to challenge myself in recovery because I didn't want to never step foot into a club again. Mm-hmm. I didn't never want to be around people, you know, having alcohol, and hence where the phrase, you know, stay in your own lane and run your own race, because I can be at dinner tables, I can be at clubs, they could be doing their own thing, having fun, whatever works for them, but I know what works for me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And drugs and alcohol and addiction have showed me where that road will lead.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So you have to turn those L's into lessons. You can't go back. You know, like we started this conversation, you know, what would you give advice to your former self or someone in early recovery? You can't go back to what almost killed you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're asking for some bad results.
You're asking for a horrible outcome that you somehow managed to escape the first time around.
Exactly.
It's like playing Russian roulette.
And also, it's very important to mention that everyone's recovery is different.
Yes.
But everyone's foundation
is the same.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The one day at a time, it works if you work it, that, you know, just going, you don't have to go through all the steps, but at least be familiar with them. You know what I mean? Because that structure is the foundation of that has saved millions and millions of lives.
Yeah.
Whether it's AA, NA, CA, you know, there's even, you know, Gamblers Anonymous and Sex Anonymous. It's all about, it's not the drugs. You don't want to know what it is? It's really yourself.
Yeah, your personality.
Your personality. You have an addictive personality. And, you know, my former self, I was like in denial, like a lot of people. I'm like, yeah, I got this. I can do this. When in fact, no one has ever been able to do it by themselves. And running your own program, guess what? Your best thinking got you to rehab. Your best thinking almost killed you,
mm-hmm.
whether heart attack or stroke or whatever it is. Addiction has shown you where that road is going to lead. So I would stick with what works. And then, like I said, everyone's recovery is different, but the foundation is always the same.
Yeah. And the basic number one of that foundation is you don't drink and you don't drug. Like, that's just the core of it.
Yeah.
So if you can just get to that point, you're going to be able to figure out the rest. But you just have to stay at that point.
But I remember my former self. I'm like, I'm, you know, 30 years old. I'm not ready to not go to a club anymore. I'm not ready not to have any fun anymore. But it's all really, to be honest with you, it's a lie. You know,
it has been a lie.
That you have been sold this from the beginning of time about alcohol and drugs. When in fact, I think I said this before, if we got out a piece of paper and we said positives and negatives of, you know, drugs and alcohol, I would win every time, you know, to stay sober, or, you know, because life, you are a product of your decisions. How can you continue to make good decisions if you're intoxicated? You're just going to make more mistakes.
Well, we actually had, I feel like we spoke a lot about this subject specifically on one of our episodes. I'm going to have to go back and look and find out which one it is after we end this, because I want to share it on our social media page. So if you guys are on Instagram, make sure you follow us at Here's the Sitch Podcast on IG. We share some inspirational quotes. We share clips from the episode, callers and advice from the episode. And I'll make sure to post on the story which episode I'm talking about, because we talk a lot about, on in all of our episodes, everything's about self-improvement, but there was one specifically where we went deep into your baseline.
Yeah.
And what your baseline is without substances, without and I'm not saying hardcore drugs even. I'm saying a glass of wine at dinner. Like, what your baseline is before you have anything is already, you're already maybe a little tired. Maybe you didn't sleep good. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not at 100%. Maybe you're at like 80, but you're having a good day. You go out to dinner, you have a glass of wine. Not saying that like you can't do this, but what you're taking away from your baseline. So like you're tricking yourself into thinking you're having a great time usually, but you're just exhausting yourself further. You're becoming inebriated. You might say some dumb things you're going to regret the next day. Mm-hmm. You might get in an argument. You might, so many different things can happen. But
you're chasing your tail.
But the facts are, whether you're an addict or not, any alcohol or substance does take away from your baseline. It takes away from your 100%.
Facts.
And I'm going to find that episode where we talked about that, because that's a big reason why I don't really drink or drug at all. Because I'm 30-something years old. I work out very hard. I try to eat things that fuel my body and make me feel good. I try to drink tons of water. And for me, it's just become something that it takes away from all of the things I improve on, that it's not worth it. It's just not worth it to take that step back.
Yeah, it definitely does. Drugs and alcohol take away from, like you said, every aspect. It affects every aspect of your life. I don't know if everyone is really looking into, and you know, the devil is in the details. But you know, if you have a drug or a drink or a drug, it affects, you know, when you go to sleep, if you go to sleep, you know, when you eat, if you eat, your sex life, who, when, where, or not at all, you know, obviously how well you're doing at your job. I mean, you know, plus it's decision making. So it affects every aspect of your life. And it's very important to know that if you have a decision to take that drink or drug, expect there to be some consequences probably. And also the choice not to drink and drug, expect positive results. You know what I'm saying? Expect you not to make more mistakes, probably. Expect you to be more mindful of, you know, trying to be a better person, because you're obviously in the right mind frame all the time now. You know what I mean? It's just, like I said, I just feel that drugs and alcohol do not contribute to you being your best self and living your best life. And anyone that thinks that it does, you're definitely kind of lying to yourself.
Yeah.
Like I said, I saw some information the other day about, you know, alcohol is derived from an Arabic term. And that's why it's called spirits or booze, which means drinking alcohol is one of the fastest things you can do to lower your vibration. And it's been used as a tool to keep human consciousness at a lowered state for thousands of years. I believe that. Yep. I saw that on the interwebs recently. I'll be honest with you, I definitely believe that for sure.
And that's something that we spoke about when we were talking about your baseline, you know, where it's something that it prevents you from excelling at the natural levels that you can achieve on your own, your vibration, your professional life, like your career, your personal relationships, your athletic ability, like your health, anything. It just diminishes all those things I just said and everything else in your life that's important to you. No matter who you are, there's no way alcohol or substances are improving any of that.
You know what? I'm surprised, because in LA and in California, it's such a huge recovery community. And I remember in the beginning of my recovery community, or my journey actually, they were just telling me there's such a huge community out here.
Yeah.
And a lot of celebrities, they turn to sobriety because it's just not a sustainable way to live.
Yes.
It's just not. Especially in my business, in entertainment, you are at a very high level.
Yep.
Okay. And the competitiveness is the highest that it can actually be. So if you're bringing yourself down with drugs and alcohol, a lot of celebrities know that. You know, a lot of the big guys that have been in this game for 10, 15, 20 years, they're all sober.
Yeah.
They might sell probably their own alcohol lines, possibly, maybe, but they're definitely not consuming.
Yeah. And it's like you're going a million miles an hour in that industry, and you're only as good as your last at bat.
Facts.
So, you know, whatever accolades and accomplishments you have, you know, if you're not consistently working and getting those gigs and making that money, it's out the window. But a lot of people, I think, also that find sobriety do leave California and they kind of move back to
Texas,
somewhere like more into the country.
Yeah.
I agree. They get more mindful, they get more where they want to raise their family. But there is a huge recovery community inside of in California, which is why I initially said earlier in this podcast that I felt like she insulted such a huge amount of people and a community by calling it California sober. Well, because inadvertently.
I agree, but she also said that what works for her.
She's just struggling.
I agree. She also said that what works for her doesn't work for anyone else, and she's uncomfortable speaking about it. So I applaud her for being honest.
Listen, that's just not gonna work.
I'll be honest, I've been in her shoes before and sounds good, but it just doesn't work.
Yeah. And the best thing is that she's being honest.
Yeah.
So if she can be honest and transparent with where she's at right now, that's the only way people can be led in to help you and help you navigate how to get to the right path.
Exactly. Well, listen, we are definitely big fans of her. But in closing on this topic, I would just suggest to get on the path of self-improvement. You know what I'm saying? It is a lifelong pursuit, mentally, physically, spiritually, personally, and professionally. And work on that one day at a time. At the end of the night, you put your head on your pillow, let go and let God, you know, handle the rest. You know what I'm saying? And on that topic, I think that's where we're going to end. But honey, I did see in the news that, and this is the same topic, similar topic, DMX had an overdose.
He did? I didn't see that.
Yeah. DMX had an overdose. He's in the hospital. He's not in good condition. And it just shows you that addiction does not discriminate. And
no.
It's the undefeated champion of, you know, taking people out. And
it's always waiting. It's always waiting there for you to fuck up.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to pray for Demi. We're going to pray for DMX. We're going to pray for everybody out there struggling in recovery or in sobriety. And if you need help, do you want to give the hotline one more time?
Yes. If you or someone that you know is suffering from the disease of addiction and or a mental health disorder, me and my wife, we are recovery advocates at Banyan Treatment Centers. Please call 1-888-270-5712. We're sending nothing but positive vibes to everyone out there in the streets. And we all know that the comeback is always greater than the setback.